sons and daughters of the king. That's what we're going to be talking about on this Tuesday, April the 3rd already, Pastor Mark Smith.
Yes, it's joyful Eastertide.
You may want to use a microphone.
Yes, that would be helpful, wouldn't
that
it?
That would be helpful.
Yeah.
Did you have a good Easter?
Always a good Easter, Tom. You bet. How about you?
Oh, wonderful.
Busy, but good.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Did you do Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter?
All of them, yes.
Yeah.
I didn't do Easter Vigil, though. I've never done an Easter Vigil. I've always kind of wanted to try it, but...
Yeah, the church I'm at right now doesn't do it. I did it once in central Missouri, and it starts with a kind of a fire outside the church.
Right.
And it's a lot of readings, no sermon.
Huh.
Yeah.
Did you do a Tenebrae Good Friday? Do you do a Tenebrae?
We did a night one, but they didn't call it a Tenebrae.
Uh-huh.
Even though they did... take out the candles during the time.
Uh-huh.
I thought that was Tenebrae, so I'm not sure. I didn't talk to them enough about why they didn't call it a Tenebrae, but I thought it was. And, both their Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday, I mean, there was 12-page bulletins.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's right. You know, especially for, like, Tenebrae, with the lights diminishing, you want to be sure that they can, you know, that they're not fumbling through the hymn bulletin and you got everything there, self-contained.
Yeah, they were able to leave enough on so they could sing the hymns. Did you do the reproaches? Those are those statements by God. Why are you doing this to me? You know, kind of thing.
Oh, you mean the seven statements from the cross?
No.
No, okay, then I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
I can't think what you're talking about. That's new to me.
Yeah, the Lord complains about the people, all he's done for them, and then they're not following him,
uh-huh.
And then the people respond and stuff.
I see, uh-huh.
That was kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. And we had, it was really good. There's no doubt about it. So, we're now into the Easter season.
Eastertide.
Eastertide, is that what they call it?
Yes, this joyful Eastertide, as they sing.
And the hymn, there's two renditions of it, although the words are the same, I think, in each rendition.
I think they are.
We're going to do a 470. And the reason it's an important hymn for the second Sunday of Easter is because it recounts Thomas, doubting Thomas.
Thomas, doubting Thomas.
So, O sons and daughters of the King, and it is in it's a gospel lesson also for this coming Sunday. Read the first stanza, please.
First stanza, okay. O sons and daughters of the King, whom heavenly hosts in glory sing, today the grave has lost its sting. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The one thing I really like about this time of the year is you don't have to make sure you don't have alleluias in your hymns.
Yes, I know.
Boy, I think twice during my ministry.
It happens. They sneak in once in a while.
I know.
What happened the other day? Let's see. I'm trying to think. Seems like one of them snuck in, and all of a sudden I realize, I've got an alleluia there. I didn't mean to have it.
Yeah. Yeah, and you got to watch out some of the liturgy.
Yeah, that's right.
You got to make sure you don't use those also.
That's right.
And we have such a...
Well, you can't, don't dare sing an alleluia.
No.
How about on Sunday? You don't sing it then either.
No, and I've never figured that out. I've asked people.
Because Sundays are supposed to be a little Easter.
Yeah.
That's always the kind of the parachute.
They're not part of the 40
net.
Days.
That's right.
And I haven't understood why we don't sing alleluias, but... In light of the fact that if you do, somebody's bound to mention it. There's no doubt. So, we have a tremendous organist and pianist. In fact, they both play the organ. So, for Easter, I looked at him. I had the readings. I knew what the sermon was. Gave him the sheet, and I said, you pick the Easter hymns. You know what they like best. And he said,
that was good.
Well, what are you going to preach on? And I looked at him and said... Easter.
The resurrection. You know, one hymn I always have, and that's Walter's hymn. He's risen Christ Jesus the Lord. I sing that every Easter. Because, you know, that is unique.
How so?
Well, I mean, you don't find it in any other hymnal. I mean, you don't find it in any other. I don't think you find it in any of the other Lutheran denominations. I think Walther's hymn is unique to the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod.
Are you sure? It wasn't in the.
Do you find
you
that?
Even got a Mighty Fortress in Roman Catholic hymnals now?
Well, that's true. Yes. Oh, yeah. I've heard them sing that. Yeah.
And what's the title of it?
He's risen. He's risen. Christ Jesus the Lord. He's opened death's prison, the incarnate true word.
Yes.
I love that hymn.
It's just a little bit past this one, in this hymnal, 480. And I could have used that for the sermon.
Yeah, I use that every Easter.
Because Walther does something that I was really disappointed in. When I drive to this church, I get to listen to a lot of radio stations because it's a distance away. And I did not hear one Easter sermon that wasn't talking about the historicity of the resurrection from the dead.
Oh, you mean the proofs? The evidence.
Right.
Yeah.
And
I
that's
see.
Not what Easter is about at all.
Right.
And that's what I said in my sermon. You know, you can believe in the resurrection from the dead and still go to hell.
Well, yeah, the devil knows he rose from the dead.
That's right. And the Pharisees.
Right.
They paid the soldiers to lie about it.
They paid the soldiers off, yeah.
And so I said, what is the true purpose of Easter is not to just recognize the history that did occur, but the meaning of the history.
Right. He rose for you.
Well, I'm just looking at Walther's hymn. He's risen, Christ Jesus the Lord. He opened death's prison, the incarnate true word.
Yes.
You don't even get past the second line, and you're already at the point that you need to be at, and that is, what's the meaning of Easter? What's the application of Easter? What I've been noticing in a lot of sermons, they'll take a text, and they basically just go through the history of the text, like the man born blind, and they'll say, and then this blind man met Jesus, and the disciples said this and that.
Yeah.
And there's no long gospel in it. It's just a rehashing.
Recount the text.
Yeah, recounting of the text. And although
There's something to be said for that itself. You know, I mean.
Well, it should be in the sermon that they know what you're talking about. But long gospel is interesting, because it talks about the application of these texts. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What's the law application? What's the gospel application? So this one here was written by Jean Tisserand. We're talking about O Sons and Daughters of the King,
yes.
He died in 1494.
How about that? Two years after Columbus came to America. Puts it in perspective.
And when was Luther born? You remember that day?
14. It was what? It was in the 90s, wasn't it?
Yes.
14. What? Was it 1494?
I'm not sure.
Oh, you put me on the spot. Huh?
That's right. When did he die?
1546.
Very good. Okay. Yes. So this gentleman was kind of born then. And the hymn appeared in booklet in 1518. And it was sung in many French dioceses on the evening of Easter Day, which is really kind of interesting. This particular one, let me see. Yes, it's translated by John Mason and is the most frequently one used today. Although there is the other tune that begins with the Alleluias.
Yes, the refrain comes at first.
Yes, interesting.
Yeah, I'm trying to think how that sounds. I know how the first one sounds.
Well, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. That's how it sounds.
Okay, Tom.
For some reason, our internet isn't working in the studio. I can't
we
get
couldn't
to
play, the... couldn't play the damn
No, song. No, okay. We could play both to give them an indication. But the point I want to make with that first line is you don't go anywhere without talking about the purpose of the resurrection, and that is Today the grave has lost its sting.
Today the grave has lost its sting. That is right.
You see, that's not Good Friday. That's Easter Sunday.
Easter Sunday.
All right. Second stanza. That Easter morn at break of day, the faithful women went their way to seek the tomb where Jesus lay. Now, there you have the history.
Yes, right.
So you really can't do application until you have the history. And then read stanza three.
An angel clad in white they see, who sits and speaks unto the three. Your Lord will go to Galilee. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Yeah, Dr. James Veltz makes a really good point here, because that's not all the angel said.
No, he says,
seeking Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified.
Right, right.
And Dr. Veltz points out it's better translated, who is crucified.
Who is crucified, yes.
Yeah.
Kind of like, I am baptized.
Yes, yes.
He is risen. He is risen.
That's right. Right. And you don't introduce your father when somebody asks who he is. Well, this was my father.
Yes. And Jesus says to his disciples, my father and your father.
Yeah, that's right.
My God and your God. We're reconciled now.
Yes.
That's what Easter has done.
So then
Good Friday has done.
The very next stanza moves us into Easter night. And the whole thing about Thomas. So if you'd read stanza four.
That night the apostles met in fear. Among them came their master dear and said, my peace be with you here. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The point I made in the Easter sermon, I was trying to make the point that the empty tomb did not save anybody. Because John, remember, he saw the empty tomb and then he believed, it said.
Yes, yes, right.
Then he went and hid in the upper room.
Uh-huh, yeah, I know.
Why would he do that if he believed Jesus rose from the dead?
He still struggled with doubt.
Well, he didn't know the meaning of the resurrection.
Right, okay.
I can hardly wait till we get to the Emmaus Road. Because they even said, and some of the women have told us he rose from the dead, and they're all mourning.
Yes.
And it's not until Jesus starts going through the Old Testament passages, remember what they say about their hearts
burned within them.
Yes, as we heard what he had to say.
Oh, but, you know, wouldn't you like to know what that felt like when he was, you know, their hearts burned, you know, their... It dawned on them, you know, a light went on, you know what I mean?
I know how you preach, and I know people have attended your church because of your good preaching. That dawn was occurring Sunday when you preached and did the worship service. And did you have a choir singing?
No, but we do a lot of singing.
Yeah, a lot of singing. Have instruments, trumpets?
We did Sunday, yes.
Oh, which instrument? Trumpet?
Let's see. One was a trumpet.
Yes.
In fact, I think it might have been a trombone, in fact. Trumpet. And the other one was a...
They can't see you doing that on the radio.
I'm trying to think of the name of the instrument.
Organ?
No, we had that too.
I know.
I want to say clarinet.
Oh, clarinet.
I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, those really, I think,
music,
make a difference.
Special music, really.
Yes. Really, yeah, there's no doubt about that. But this is really interesting. They heard he had risen from the dead. John said he believed it. And he believed it not so much because the tomb was empty, but because the clothes... was arranged in such a way that he had just left the clothes.
Yes.
Yes. You ever hear
Do you think, let me ask you this.
Yes.
Do you think that those clothes were wrapped up such that it looked like he just passed through them without upsetting them?
I think so.
Do you think it was like an empty cocoon? You know,
right.
That's what I get out of the text.
That's
is
what
that
I
the,
do,
The
too.
Headpiece was sitting here, and the wrappings were wrapped up like he just completely left. You know, we know that he didn't have to enter through the entrance or exit through the entrance. The tomb was already empty when the stone was rolled away.
Yes, yeah.
And so he left the grave clothes without upsetting and unwrapping them.
Right.
That's what I get out of that text. And that's why John says he saw and believed.
Yes, but then he was in fear.
Yes.
And have I ever talked to you about the monkey's paw?
Yes, you have.
Yeah, that's that where they could make three wishes. They asked for $1 million.
Yes, I've heard it at least two or three times.
Their son was killed. They got $1 million in insurance, and they were so sad. So the third wish, they asked him to come back from the dead, and all they heard was thumping and a knock on the door. Of course, his body was totally mangled. So for the third wish, they asked him back in the grave.
I guess so, yeah.
Now, I use that because they fled from Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. They denied Jesus. They betrayed Jesus. And now they hear he's coming back.
Yeah. And you know, it's always interesting how it talks about the women left with fear and joy.
Yeah.
What a mix of emotions there.
Right.
You know, fear and yet great joy.
That's right.
Now, have you ever felt fearful and joyful at the same time?
Every funeral.
Oh, there you are. That's an excellent point. You are right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Would you read 5?
When Thomas first the tidings heard that they had seen the risen Lord, he doubted the disciples' word. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Yeah, that would be hard. Notice it's the disciples' word because he still doesn't know the Bible.
Right.
And so the disciples are just talking about the history.
Yes.
Yeah. So they're still, what changes everything is what is the first word Jesus says when he gets into the upper room?
Peace be with you.
Yeah, yeah.
He wanted them to know, look, I'm not angry with you.
Right.
I'm not disappointed with you. You're reconciled. Peace be with you. Just relax. I'm here. I'm risen. I love you. I died for you. I rose for you.
The only bad thing about Easter was on April 1st, because I always like doing April Fools.
Yes, yes.
And I usually do it on the radio. I didn't do it at all. But I was thinking of saying this, and Jesus walked into the room and looked at them and said, thanks a lot, guys.
No, he didn't say that.
No, that would have been April Fools.
Peace be with you, yes. Yeah. Well, at least the weather held off until later that evening. You know, they were supposed to get snow.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
You're talking about here in St. Louis.
I'm talking about here in St. Louis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there were accidents all over the highways.
Well, we had a nice morning there. It was a beautiful Easter morning.
Yeah, it worked out. 6. My pierced side, O Thomas, see, and look upon my hands, my feet, not faithless, but believing be. Alleluia, alleluia. And I want to read the next verse because I got a point to make. No longer Thomas then denied. He saw the feet, the hands, the side. You are my Lord, my God, he cried. What didn't he do?
What didn't he do?
That he said he had to do.
He did not. Well, you tell me. Did he place his finger in the nail holes?
Read it. He saw.
Yeah, he saw.
There's right. He didn't touch.
Well, you know, there's a lot of, I've even heard sermons based on that whole question.
Oh, really?
Did you know, because there's different art pieces, and some convey him actually putting his finger in the wound of our
Lord.
Well,
don't deal with art.
I know, because
we have never seen a proper picture in art of the crucifixion.
I know, but my point is, why is this, the whole question of whether did he touch him or not, why is that such an issue? I don't think people understand why that's an issue.
I believe it's an issue because Jesus doesn't say, blessed are those who have not touched me and believe.
Yeah.
He says, blessed are those who have seen me. Yeah. You get to a point again that they're wondering, you know, they're probably saying, well, maybe it was a fake body or something like that, or it was an angelic body. But remember, he even eats.
Yes, he asks for something to eat.
That's right, and it doesn't fall to the floor.
No.
Yes.
No, that's right.
So it's really human. In fact, read verse 8, because that makes your point.
How blessed are they who have not seen, and yet whose faith has constant been, for they eternal life shall win. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
See, those who have not seen.
And that includes about 99% of the population of the church, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, how
because,
many
have... and this is really, again, an important point. We bring people to faith, not by giving them evidence that they can touch, but by giving them the Word of God, which makes no sense at all, but the Holy Spirit uses it to create faith.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe the unbelievable.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, that was part of the resurrection thing there.
And we really, and we believe it with all our hearts.
Yes.
Have you ever tried to put yourself, I'm just asking the question, have you ever tried to put yourself in the shoes of other people outside of the church and ever wondered, you know, what they're thinking, what's going through their mind? Those Christians, you know, do they really believe that he rose from the dead? You ever try to put yourself in their minds that way? Probably not.
All the time. Remember, I'm driving for Uber and
yes.
Lyft now, and
yes.
so I meet these people all the time.
Yes. But you know, we Christians.
Here's my favorite thing I do. Is I say, you know, I believe in God. And if I'm talking to somebody who says he's an atheist, I say, tell me why you don't believe in the God I believe in. And when they are done, I can say to them, guess what? I don't believe in that God either. They never get our God right.
No, they don't get it. You're right. They just don't get it.
No, that's always illegal. No God's going to tell me what to do
yeah,
in order
right.
for me to get to heaven or hell.
Right, right.
And I said, I agree with you.
Yeah.
So I'm always agreeing with the atheists, you know.
That he's actually got us to heaven. He's actually made the way.
Right. But the point I'm making is their view of God isn't the true God at all. And they think that's our God.
Uh-huh.
And so you start then really talking about the freedom of salvation,
yes.
the forgiveness of sins. And they have never really heard it that way. And I said, why wouldn't you believe in that God? You know, because it's so clear from the Bible. We have some good conversation. I have a whole set of questions putting myself in their shoes. In fact, Concordia Publishing House has how you respond to Mormons,
right,
Muslims,
right.
et cetera. And
right.
I think that's what they're doing in those books. They're trying to get into the shoes of these people and responding how they think. Verse 9.
On this most holy day of days, be laud and jubilee and praise. To God your hearts and voices raise. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Yes. That's why every Sunday is really an Easter.
That's
right.
On. Sure is.
Have you considered what you're preaching on this Sunday?
No, I took yesterday off.
Yeah.
And this morning I voted, and now I'm here, so... As soon as I get to the office, I'll ponder that question.
Oh.
I'm sure it'll be on Easter.
On Easter.
What else did you expect, Tom?
Yes. Well, this is a good hymn, even if you don't preach on Thomas. But there's a lot that we haven't talked about on Thomas
right.
that still is good.
Thomas, you know, he went all the way to India and was martyred for his faith.
Yeah. That's the tradition.
Yeah. That's what we...
It's not in the Bible.
You're right, but we hear from tradition that he started the church, Christ started the church in India, but
yeah.
Tom was very instrumental in getting the church started in India and was, according to tradition, he was speared, I think.
Oh, really?
I think.
I don't
martyred.
Recall that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Symbol is a square edge with a spear.
Oh.
That's his symbol because he built,
sure.
perhaps even literally built, the church there in India.
That's what you bring in Bible classes,
right,
too,
right.
to help people understand even more about what Jesus said. I don't have the right to put you on my right and left hand, but if you want the baptism I'm to undergo, you will.
Yes.
So next Tuesday?
Planning on it.
Okay. We're looking forward to that. I'm Tom Baker. And that was Pastor Mark Smith. And tomorrow's Insight Wednesday, where we're going to be expanding on the purpose of Easter. God bless.
Each weekday morning at 9:30 on Worldwide KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Long Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri, 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.